following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. It is the, if you're listening to this the day it came out, it is New Year's Eve. And I hope that you have a good, safe New Year's Eve plan ahead of you, or it's already happened maybe, I don't know. I'm kind of glad to see this year come to a conclusion, a satisfying conclusion, I suppose. 2016 was pretty bad. 2017... you know, I'm kind of done with it. I'm looking forward to the new year, as we all are. I mean, I don't know too many people to go, oh, I don't want this year to end. It has been so good. I've never heard that. I don't know of anybody that ever talks like that, but I'm sure there's somebody out there that feels that way. Personally, I am I'm kind of over it. I'm ready for all of it to be put behind us and ready to move on to newer and more wonderful things. Between all of the madness that has been the political landscape of this country, I'm not going to get into it, but I'm ready for it. I'm ready for that to be over too. I tell you what else I'm ready to be behind, or have behind us, the Star Wars franchise. I know it's very unpopular for me to talk like that. The latest film, I've seen enough of it to, and I've read enough about it. I don't like what they've done to it. Look, when Mark Hamill, right, the guy who plays Luke Skywalker in all of the films, when he himself has said that he didn't like what they did to his character, but he just did it as a job, that should tell you something. It really should. So, you know, maybe we could be just done with all of that. It's my point of view. People are like, oh, man, you're just not looking at it correctly. You know, they're supposed to change it up. They got to make it right. You got to do something different, you know, for the younger fans. Fuck the younger fans. This was something that a large generation of people really had a thing for. And look what they did to it. I'm going to tell you something else while I'm on it. Well, I'm going to sound like a cranky old man. I'm going to go ahead and get on this, too. I'm fucking tired of the comic book movies. That's it. Enough. Done. I know they could do stories from here till the end of time, but I think they're all sort of repetitive now, and it's all sort of silly, and they all suffer from the same affliction, which is the third act blues, where they just get these wild, massive eye candy destructo battle scenes that happen that A are wildly predictable, and B they're just sort of pointless. And it's I saw Guardians of the Galaxy 2. It's a fine film, I guess, for what it is. The story was actually quite good. There was some good, you know, there was a lot of weirdness that went with it. But that big epic fight scene in it, and it's like, okay, I get it, enough. Enough. That's kind of how I feel about this year for 2017. Enough. Let's move along into something hopefully a little bit more positive, which would be nice. That would be a cool thing. Coming up on this episode here in just a matter of moments, it is Eddie Daddle and Wally Ford. They stepped into the studios. We talked music. They played a little bit. We had a great time, but we were talking about songwriting and how society shapes music. So we're going to have some fun with that. Eddie's a great guy, and we're gonna have a chat with him in just a little while. In fact, why don't we just take a break here and then come back and get into it. It's our conversation with Eddie Daddle, a little bit with Mr. Wally Ford. It's coming up next right here from Radioland.
Keep calm and haunt on with Historical Haunts, Memphis Haunted Tour Company. Ancient burial mounds, yellow fever, maritime disasters, Victorian murders, and ghost stories are all a part of the Memphis dark history. Join Historical Haunts for a spirited night out on the Haunted Memphis Bus Tour, Haunted Pub Crawl, the Woodruff Fontaine House Ghost Tour, or one of our other spooky tours and events. Check out our website for all of the exciting ghost tours and ghost haunts at historicalhauntsmemphis.com.
Mr. Eddie Daddle, Wally Ford in the studio. Hey guys, how y'all doing?
Pretty good, thank you. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Thank you for coming in.
Well, we had a hard time getting here.
You know, take a boat down Poplar, didn't you?
Oh, man, it's raining and raining, and, you know, and...
There was a wreck on Poplar. There's always a wreck on
light, and the traffic was stuck, so we had to jump over, and we actually caught the interstate and went the opposite direction that we needed to come in just to avoid the traffic.
Oh, well, yeah.
But we made it.
Well, I'm glad you did. Yeah, and I got your record here. You dropped it off to us the other day. I've been listening to it. It's good stuff, man.
Thank you.
Very, very good stuff. You've always done good quality work, though, Eddie.
Oh, thanks.
Well, you and Wally are responsible for writing just a bunch of tunes in this town. It's like the songwriter's juggernaut right here.
Well, you know, I feel real blessed in that, you know, it's an overused word, but it is the Christmas season, right?
Or yeah.
Holiday season. And I met Wally back in the around late 80s, I guess it was. I first heard him, he was at a club, and he got up and he performed a couple of tunes that he wrote. I'll never forget. One of them was Third World Calling, if you know that song of his. Mm-hmm. It's a great song. And another one was American Dream. And I was really impressed, and we met, and then we saw each other at a studio called The Attic upstairs from Cotton Row, a guy named John David Wages over there on Madison, upstairs from Nico Lyris had his studio, or still does, has a studio downstairs. Upstairs was a small sort of demo studio.
Yeah.
I was doing my first demo ever, you know, in my life, and that was in the late 80s, and I met Wally at that time, and it was a few years later we started collaborating, writing tunes, and we sort of hit our stride writing for Daddy Mac. I guess we've written half or a little more three, and I've written another album or half album or so, but between the two of us we have written a good 50% of the Daddy Mac catalog.
Right.
And, you know, we got airplay. We were on satellite radio on the Bluesville program. Great Recession Blues made it to, like, number 2 or number 3.
Right on. Yeah, that's good.
So we even got a few little checks. You know, from it. So not enough to make a down payment on a new bowling ball, but, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of weird how that works in the performance end of it, though. But, you know.
I have to say, though, for as far as satellite, yeah. Because it's a national thing, your BMI royalty would be okay. You know, it's not terrible.
From my understanding, the way it works in the satellite end, because it's subscription based, half of the money that they receive in subscriptions go back to the artist. So, in other words, if you pay $10 a month for the service, $5 of that goes into the artist pool,
and that trickles down to the artist through the sound exchange.
That's correct.
So, yeah. So we did. But that's, you know, I mean, that's besides the point, the idea that we were able to get that much exposure with the song. And, of course, you know, Daddy Mac's career was up until, I mean, the last year he's been staying closer to home. I mean, 72 years old.
Yeah.
He had a better part of 7 or 8 years where he was touring quite a bit. I mean, literally coast to coast.
Yeah, he was constantly busy, yeah.
Yeah, he was with a company called Road Dog. Actually, Ghost Town Blues Band is called Road Dog.
Yes.
You know, we worked with Road Dog. Their first two CDs were on my label, Inside Sounds. But yeah, Daddy Mac was having a great run. It was great to see the recordings, you know, get airplay.
Yeah.
The CDs got really good reviews. And to see somebody out of Memphis get, you know, out there like that was a lot of fun. I think for a couple of years he had about 120, 150 gigs outside of Memphis per year.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And now Ghost Town Blues Band is just sort
they've
of
picked
doing
up that.
That,
yeah, they're
and, that and some.
Oh, yeah, my God.
I think they're the number one artist on, if not the number one, they got to be the top three with Road Dog touring.
I think so. Yeah, I think they're playing like over 200-something dates a year.
They've got to be. They've
easily.
Got to be.
Yeah, every time I turn around, they're, you know, Matt's talking about being in Canada or being up in the Northeast or over in the Northwest. I mean, he's everywhere.
They'll do 7 in 6 days in Canada sometimes.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
They'll do a double deal. Of course, he does those workshops, too, with his cigar box.
Yes, yes.
And it's been interesting how, and you know, Matt sort of got his feet wet in blues. He went on tour with Daddy Mac. The opening act.
Yeah,
and
he was the warm-up for it, yeah.
Yeah, you could call it, yeah, like the warm-up. But he toured with them. They all traveled together in the van. This was one of those gigs where they went all the way to California, you know.
Oh, wow.
In the van.
Oh, wow.
Was, you know, but it was a lot of fun. He documented it. He taped it. I don't know if he had with his iPhone or with an actual camera.
Right.
But then he posted it online. You can watch it on YouTube, like a 15-minute clip of his travels with the Daddy Mac Blues Band.
I need to look for that. That'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, it'd be easy to find.
I'm sure.
I think you look up probably look up Daddy Mac Blues Band on the road with Matt Isbell or the tour.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I've watched it, you know, and it's good, you know.
And him having that baby hadn't slowed him down yet either. I would have thought that would have, but it doesn't, you know.
Well, he's got a great wife.
Oh, she's lovely. Yes,
she's great, and Matt keeps it together really well. I mean, obviously, he'd love to be able to be with his, you know, he's got a three. I guess she's about 3 years old now. But
yeah,
you know, I mean, you got to do, you know, what your calling.
Yeah,
you know, his calling is music.
Yeah,
this was his passion, his dream, and he's making it work.
Yeah,
you know? I mean, yeah. Ghost Town is out there really doing it. So I can't say enough good things about Matt. And you know, it is what it is as far as, you know, the dad being away from home.
But sure,
you know, the other side of it is, if you're a musician, when you're home, you're home.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right. You're home.
I mean, you know, you're gonna be there all the time. You know, and around your kids. So I don't think she's suffering from it. Let me put it that way.
Well, yeah, it's probably like, okay, isn't it time for you to get on the road now? Go get out of the house. You know, we had Brad Webb down here last Sunday, mm-hmm. and he and I were talking about that, and his wife would say, you know, when the calling hits, you got to go. You got to go out and play. Aren't you supposed to be playing somewhere? She'd try and kick him out of the house. So he builds that studio there at the back of the house, you know.
And, I've been there.
And he said, yeah, that's not even far enough, because she'll come out there and say, you need to get out of here. Go, you're being cranky. Go, you know, go play your guitar. Go, you know, go sing. Go do what you do, you know.
Brad's one of the great ones, too, in this town, as far as just every aspect of it, whether it's helping other people or just being a great player in his own right, great producer, engineer. You know, we've worked with Brad as far as on this CD, this other CD of mine called Behind Blue Eyes,
mm-hmm.
Brad plays slide on a couple of songs. He's a great slide
player. Oh, he is. Player. Yeah, he's incredible.
And another, you know, thing, it's Blind Mississippi Morris. Again, I hate to say somebody owes their career to someone, but you would think that he probably, Morris, owes his career to Brad Webb, because Brad was there 30 years ago. They used to play at a place called the Daiquiri Works, I think it was, the Daiquiri mm-hmm. Works on Beale Street.
Right.
And that's when you first saw Blind Mississippi Morris, and that was a band that Brad Webb had put together. And, of course, they went on to tour all over the country, and especially Europe. They would go over these little jaunts to Europe. And so Brad's done a lot for a lot of people, and he's just a good guy.
Yeah.
Good guy, and great musician.
That brass note of his down on Beale was well deserved, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, that was very good. Very, very cool. Shifting gears, on the blues show, Jeff and I will often talk about how certain things happening in the world influence music. We've seen it especially here through the 60s, you know, with the civil rights movement, all the music that was coming out of Stax at the time. It was a reflection of the things that were happening. And I told Jeff, I said, you know, with all the craziness that's going on in Washington, I think it's going to affect the music now. And you proved that.
Oh, I'm living proof right here in Memphis, Tennessee. Yeah.
I mean, I know
Radio
there's some other stuff that's come out since, you know, before, but not as pointed or as direct or as veiled, or thinly veiled, as Art of the Deal is the one that comes to mind. Trickle Down Blues was another one. These are two songs that are they're different, of course, but they speak, I think, specifically to what is happening 2016, 2017. I think you were influenced by that.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, if we're going to get philosophical here.
You can. Do whatever you want.
I mean, I guess I'm from that generation, even though you'd call me a baby boomer, but I'm not the... I had older siblings, too.
Yes.
So the stuff I heard on the radio was exactly what you're talking about. It was a movement going on. There was a movement. I was a child, but it became a part of who I am.
Right.
I was inspired by artists, you know, like John Lennon.
Oh yeah.
Those who wanted to say something, but not always just for the sake of saying something. Now that can be a turnoff if you're just always being political. It has to be authentic to you as an artist. In other words, if you feel moved on some level as an artist, you know, you bring it inside your heart and in your head, and you have to say something about it.
Sure.
And that's kind of what happened with a song like Trickle Down Blues, you know, or Art of the Deal, and other songs. Like, you know, Wally doesn't lean as political as I do, but he's up for it. If I want to, when we collaborate on a lot of the Daddy Mac stuff, you know, sometimes we get a little political. Daily Blues is one. Daily Blues is pretty political.
We
talking
wrote
about
a song called Great Recession Blues.
Great Recession Blues.
Great Recession Blues, yeah. Is exactly, you're talking about what's going on in our, you know, with the Great Recession a few years back. And but I do take it to heart. I guess I have a certain passion about it. Maybe it's anger issues. I don't know.
It
but
could
you,
be.
You get pissed off. You get mad, and you see what happens here with some of the politics. And if you're a songwriter, I get it. If you just want to write pretty songs, or if you just want to write songs about, you know, incidences in your own life, I'm all about that. I write from the first person.
That's where most blues comes from, though, too. Most of it.
You're feeling, you're living it.
Sure.
Because you feel, sure. You know, the whether it's the oppression or just the out-and-out inequity that happens in life. And fortunately, if you're an artist, you know, you can express that in a way that other people are going to hear it.
Sure.
So
it's a great outlet. I mean, was it, Sadell Davis said, if it's in you, it's got to come out. You know, and being an artist in this time is it's an enviable position, because you automatically have a platform to speak. You when you feel like you can't get anything accomplished or say what you want to say, at least you can pick up a guitar, you can go onto a stage, you can come to a venue like this and get it out there, or go, you know, create the song. It's there, and it's there for eternity.
It's there. It's just a matter of how many people. I mean, you want people. I mean, you know, you can talk about as an artist that you feel like you know, you just do it because you want to do it. But, I mean, I don't know if I can speak for Wally, but he's sitting right here. You want to have an audience, too.
Oh, yeah.
You want to – there's something about that validity in what you're doing. It validates what you're doing, whether it's because you know you're getting some airplay, or because we're doing this interview, or because we get a check for it.
Sure.
It's not all about the money, but the money is validation that people have heard something, that they like it.
Yes.
You know, and you know, and you can just be sit at home all day long. And personally, I don't perform very often at all. Maybe once a year I'll do something for 25 minutes.
Really?
As far as performing. I just don't, for whatever reason, I've been more in the background that
right,
way.
Right.
You know, and I'm not a gigging musician. But I play. You know, a lot of people don't even know I can play and sing, but
sure,
I do.
Sure.
Some throw vegetables at me, but, you know. But that's healthy.
Yeah, you
know?
It's healthy.
I mean,
you come out
of
there with a salad. I mean,
you know, I mean,
tomatoes, you know, and cabbage, and you're good to go, right?
I mean, they're not going to throw their sirloin steak, you know. But hey, the vegetables are good for you. So it's important, you know, for me anyway. As a songwriter, I do want to say something that has some validity, as opposed to just doing it because I want to. Just because of expression,
right?
It's
right.
Not for me. It's not all about the expression. It's about making a difference.
Sure.
And that comes back around to the idea of growing up with the 60s and 70s influence, where you want to make a difference. And that's what's so frustrating about politics right now, coming back full circle here. The idea that somehow or another in this current administration, it's not about making a difference. It's just about me first all over again.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
it's easy to feel as though you have lost control, you know, as a citizen. You just feel like all this is just completely out of everybody's hands. And it's, you know, so being able to write about it and to sing about it is a good outlet, because it does help other people understand where you're coming from.
Well, you know, you look at, actually had a song on my first release called Thou Shalt Leave Thy Trees Alone. I call it the 11th commandment from God to Moses, you know, and it was an environmental anthem, you know. This Sierra Club liked it, you know, and the idea is that, you know, why don't we, you know, people say, oh, there's no global warming, or there's global warming, but we're not causing it, or on and on and on. And I say, you know something, have you ever walked into a bar with a bunch of smokers, and all it takes is a few, and it's like it irritates your sinuses.
Sure.
Remember the days when you could you could smoke on commercial aircraft, you know,
in the grocery store, in the hospital,
hospital. It's like, you know, when you walk into a room and you see that the smoke kind of irritates you if you're a non-smoker, and it makes you feel a little sick, and then now we know that smoking is bad for you.
Yeah.
Well, the same thing with pollution. When you walk out into a filthy environment where there's a lot of smog, you don't feel very good. They have warnings for this kind of thing. They know that there's a higher incident of asthma in children because of, you know, that pollution is bad for you.
Okay? That's right.
People, if you don't believe in global warming, what's wrong with cleaning up the air? My big question. What's wrong with that?
It's
the liberal media.
Yeah, that whole idea of like, well, what if they're wrong? Well, we still have a clean planet now.
Yeah. What's the downside of cleaning up the water and air?
Exactly.
And Trump is rescinding a couple of these executive orders already.
Like the EPA, all of that.
The EPAs, they're told to go sleep. Go find a hole and sleep in it while we do, we want to deregulate.
Right.
But regulation, you and me are old enough to know. Mm-hmm. I remember, the smog that was so horrific L.A. and New York and the major cities. It was, now we talk about China, how horrible it is there, and they're having to go electric with electric cars and solar energy and everything. Well, the U.S. was like that, too. We had to clean it up.
Yeah, Los Angeles, I think, we had the yellow skies for the longest time.
And it's cleaning up. It's amazing how the transformation, we don't want to go back that way. It's for the future and the present. If you think that, it's a big hoax, which it is not, well, just look at the immediate effect. Wouldn't you like, they just came out with a report. Again, I read the news.
Yeah.
I don't read the news just for inspiration, but I just feel like as a citizen, I should.
Just stay informed,
To be informed. And, for 2 years in a row now, they say the lifespan of Americans, for the first time in history now, for 2 years in a row in modern history, lifespan has decreased.
Yeah.
We're like the 30th or 39th in the world now. We don't live as long.
No.
It's like maybe if we, talk about healthy food, healthy environment, clean environment, and you know what? When you die a little younger, check this out. You're probably not that healthy the years when you should be anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always a choice.
That's correct.
You just happen to be born in a particular city, in a particular neighborhood. And that's a shame,
It is a shame.
Those are the disenfranchised. And I feel like government should serve those that are the least fortunate among us.
Isn't this how we make America great again? Is that right? We go back in time. We're going to burn more coal. It's nuts. How about a tune?
Oh, okay. Let's.
On that note.
On that note.
Yeah.
I guess there's only one we can do right now. I guess we should do Art of the Deal.
And this is on Another Side of the Sun. This is your brand new record.
Yes.
Yeah. And has it been released yet?
Technically, it was released about 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
We've just started doing a mail out for it.
Okay.
But officially, it is out there and it's available, whether in download format or
available physical. Where sold. Yeah,
just wherever there's the
iTunes,
sell music,
Amazon,
everywhere iTunes, Rhapsody, Spotify, you can listen the streaming services. It's out there. And Art of the Deal, as you've been playing it, was released as a single backed with Trickle Down Blues during the campaign.
Yeah, it's titled Eddie Daddle and Five Empty Pockets.
Yeah, that was on the fly. We thought that would work pretty well.
And the videos for both those songs too, by the way, are great.
Thank you.
I just have to tell you that they're awesome.
Yeah. Well, Wally, it was in that video, and Trickle Down Blues was a lot of fun remaking that tune. And so those videos have gotten a lot of views. I think we've had between the two of them over 3,000 verified views. So that's something.
We'd like
to see 3 million.
That would be kind of good. I'll re-release them. We put them up on our website when they first came out, and we'll get them back out there.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
So this version that's on this new CD of Art of the Deal,
yes,
is the same mix minus there's some social commentary on the solo section.
There was some spoken word stuff that was going on.
Spoken word, yeah. So on my release on my CD, the full length CD, that's not on there. And so we can do that live right now with Wally Ford and me.
All right, let's go for it.
Big Daddy's road is crooked. Power is his game. He never shows all his cards, makes deals with no shame. He smokes a fine cigar, conniving on the phone. faithful secretaries stand beside him at his throne. He's got skyscrapers. Servants serve every meal. Lies to fake you into the art of the deal. Big Daddy's road is crooked. There's nothing you can do. He's got the silver tongue and waves the silver spoon. If you think he's bluffing, he'll trump you in the end. He's got all the connections, the ones he calls his friends. He's got skyscrapers. Servants serve every meal. Lies to fake you into the art of the deal. Big Daddy's road is crooked. You can see it in his eyes. Even when he sings a hymn, it's part of the disguise. He holds the winning hand with jokers running wild. And he'll take your last red cent, then shake your hand and smile. He's got skyscrapers. Servants serve every meal. Lies to fake you into the art of the deal. He's got skyscrapers. Servants serve every meal.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
Absolutely brilliant.
Thank you.
I hear a couple, and this is, I guess there's no doubt your influences, but kind of like a Tom Petty vibe to that tune.
You know,
and a little George Harrison in there, you know.
People say, sometimes I say, I love the Beatles, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm a Beatle freak, you know, along with Dave Smith and a couple other people, but primarily Dave Smith, you know, Dave Smith,
sure.
Bassist in town. He and I produced the Fried Glass Onion series.
Yes,
Fried
that's
Glass Onions,
okay.
Memphis
yes.
Meets the Beatles.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know some people say, Eddie, you're obsessed with the Beatles, man. Okay, all right. I think they're the blueprint for all of recorded music since the 60s, period.
I agree.
There's not a moment, you know, at any moment in time, somebody in a studio is making a reference to the Beatles, saying, well, the Beatles did it this way or that way.
Yeah.
On a technical note, they do. They talk about, well, how did they do the, you know, the guitar sound, or what instrument did they use, or what about a harmony like this? So, yeah, I'm influenced. But, you know, I think the recording sounds more Tom Petty-ish in a way. But, yeah, I'm influenced by those guys. And
there's nothing wrong with that at all. No.
You know, there's a little bit of Dylan. I feel like there's a little bit of Dylan in it, in that song, you know. But, yeah, I was influenced. But to be honest, I wasn't that influenced by Tom Petty. I just think the way this song
came
out is kind of Tom Petty-ish. Not that I wasn't a fan, but I wasn't obsessed.
You weren't shooting for that either, so it just kind of happened.
Right, I wasn't. Yeah. Exactly. It kind of happened that way in the studio. And now it's funny, now that this is the first time we've done a live performance, or I've done a live performance of this song, but to me, there's a little bit of Neil Young in it, just because of the opening riff on it.
Yeah.
It's a little bit Neil Young-y, but, you know. who I am influenced by.
More than
Tom Petty.
Oh yeah, there's far worse guys out there. That's for sure, Eddie.
Yeah, I love Neil Young.
Radio Memphis in the Afternoon with Joel Martin. Weekdays at 2 Central on Radio Memphis.
I've known a few women, and then there's you. Real high class with a penthouse view. I keep your secrets and your magazines. Count your lovers go by. Them out when they leave. You snap your finger, always tip me in cash. I may be your doorman, not your doormat. I drop everything when you ring my bell. I'm there in a hurry, I'm got more shoes, girl, than your cell phone has calls. What I wouldn't give to be a fly on your wall. With a kiss on my cheek, you say I'm a real catch. But I'm only your doorman, not your doormat. When you walk by, I fight every urge, but inside I'm weak. I start to daydream about how life could be. Traveling the globe with you next to me. I'd swallow my pride just to taste some of that. Girl, I'll be your doorman and your doormat. Girl, I'll be your doorman and your doormat. Diamonds, they sparkle as you hand me a five. You slip off your dress and whisper goodnight. My heart is racing, 'cause I can't turn back. Girl, I'd be your doorman and your doormat. Yes, I'd be your doorman to be your doormat. I'd be your doorman and your doormat.
Kids, that's Eddie Daddle there at Radio Memphis, and Doormat there from the record, the brand new one, Another Side of the Sun. The song is called Doormat. It's a fine album, Eddie. I think you guys did a good job with this thing.
Thank you. I think I'm proud of it. You know, it's like, you know, you go back and you go, well, I like that tune a lot. I'm glad you like it, because I like that. It's probably one of my top three favorites, you know, on the CD. It turned out good, you know, from... You know, you're sitting where I'm sitting, since I wore a lot of hats, as the songwriter on this song and the artist and, you know, producer. It's hard to really be objective, so you go back and forth whether you like something or not, you know. And this one I like, you know, I really like it. And I like Eric Hughes's harmonica solo. You know?
Oh, yeah. Well,
that was by design. I knew...
You knew Eric was going to do that bit, so, yeah.
I knew it going into it.
You can't go wrong with him on there anyway.
Yeah, he's got a great tone, and he's a guy that's really doing, you know, he's out there doing it.
Oh, yeah.
He seems to stay together. I know I tend to talk about other artists a lot, but I'm into it, you know. In Memphis, you know, I like what... A lot of folks are doing around town. I like the fact that Eric Hughes is staying on Beale Street and paying his dues, and he's a good performer, and he's a very good harmonica player.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And I brought him in on a couple other tracks, too, with Daddy Mac. And
yeah.
It was a tune I wrote called Doorman, which is a straight-up blues tune, real kind of primitive, unplugged sort of blues, stripped down with the Daddy Mac Blues Band. And then Eric played the solo on it, and this idea for that song came from Doormat.
I got
Doormat was an unfinished song of mine. And then with Daddy Mac, I guess we were trying to get our material together. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to sort of rewrite this idea, call it Doorman. And then when I finished the song Doormat recently, meaning last year, went back to it and made myself finish the tune. I knew I wanted to bring Eric Hughes back in to play harmonica, even though it's not a blues song.
Right,
you know, it's what I'd call kind of middle of the road rock. You know,
it's what's the thing everybody's talking Americana.
Yeah, it's kind of Americana.
If you're going to put music in a box anymore, that would be, I guess, where it would fit. I guess I don't know. It's kind of hard to say.
Well, but it's not edgy rock, or it's not heavy metal.
I mean, it's its own thing, you know. And it speaks to the and as a songwriter and a performer, you must understand. You must know this probably better than anybody, that songs have kind of a weird arc in their lives. There's that point when you release it, when you think you're done with it, and out it goes. It's like a child. It goes out there, and then it does what it does. But as you continue to play it and listen to it, it begins to mature. It changes a little bit, and that's a good example there with Doormat, because it came from something else, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it, I have to say too, an interesting story. When I went in to finish, or I should say, to produce this CD, I already knew I had four or five songs that from a few years ago that were in the can already. Most of them were already mixed, but I needed to record another half a dozen or so.
Sure.
And I had these new songs that I liked, like Doormat, and I posted something on Facebook. Now, only in Memphis can you post something on Facebook looking for musicians for a recording project.
Yeah.
And the only thing that I wanted was that they had ever recorded at my studio before.
Okay.
That was it. It didn't matter if they had clapped their hands on a recording, which in one case, the drummer, actually, I'd never worked with him before other than he played a percussion part.
Yeah.
But he was Mike Assad. He's a great drummer.
Yeah.
He responded to the post. I posted it one time, and whoever, it was like a first come, first serve sort of thing. And Adam Levin, or Adam Hart Memphis.
Yeah, I know Adam. Yeah, he's wonderful.
He used to play. We were talking about Matt Isbell. They had a band back in the day called Gusto.
Yeah.
I think they go back to high school together, both of them.
I think they were part of the whole Rock Lotto project at one
point. Rock Lotto, and Matt was in. Matt and Adam played in the Venus Mission.
Yeah.
So Adam responds, and as did Preston. Actually, Preston McEwen was one of the two drummers.
Yes.
He played on one or two of the tracks. And then a great bass player who once played on a song that we released 20-something years ago. I've seen him over the years. John Grossi. He mm-hmm. for years he played with Elmo and the Shades.
Yeah,
versatile, very, very versatile studio kind of guy.
Right, you know? Right.
I mean, you see him out playing live, but he's what you call a studio cat.
Yeah.
And that's how I did it. I thought, this idea of randomness and art, you know, I just sort of threw it out there. John said, I'm available. And actually, no other bass player responded, because I only did it one time. I only just put it out there on the internet.
That's Memphis, though. It's only one bass player responds to it, because that's probably the only guy that was available at the time.
Whatever it is. But the idea that you can get a great rhythm section together, they never had played together before.
Just by putting out that random type post, you know.
Mm-hmm. The only, prerequisite was that they had to have been in my studio before. So at least you knew they had to be a certain level, of quality as players. And that's how it came together. And there was a real excitement, because these guys admired each other, because they knew right away, he's pretty good.
Everybody knows each other in the scene.
They know who they are, They know each other, but they had never worked together as a unit before.
Yeah.
And then later, Adam Levin, or Adam Hart Memphis, as he likes to call himself these days, he and Mike Assad were in a band together for a while after that. Same thing happened once before. We worked on the Memphis Bells project, and Kim Trammell was a part of the live band, and Joyce Cobb was on the bill, and she ended up playing with Joyce Cobb after that.
It's neat. It's unlike other cities that have a music economy, there's usually a lot of infighting that goes on. It's sad. There's a lot of drama. Here, it's not that bad. It really isn't. Everybody's real supportive of each other here.
I think so.
For the most part.
There's a little bit of the too cool for school kind of thing that goes on in Memphis sometimes. That's almost more coming from the journalists,
I think they're manufacturing some of that.
Yeah, yeah. But the musicians are a lot more open. Most of them really are. And this, what I call the Facebook rhythm section, you know, came about. and you know, I mean, I really was lucky with that.
Well,
because
yeah.
We ended up tracking actually altogether about 10 songs, I would say.
Yeah.
And I've got a couple other in the can. And of course, Charles Ponder. Yeah. Some of those tracks, you know, we ended up saving for Charles. And we released this other CD called In the Spotlight. And with Charles Ponder, who's just a great, great Memphis singer. And so, yeah, it's that's how this came about. And the doormat song represents that, you know, randomness kind of thing with the rhythm section. Of course, you know, I would use them over and over again. By the way, Adam plays both piano and guitar. So he's, you know, he's just, and is a great singer in his own right.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So he sang background on a number of tunes and played both piano and guitar. And that's, you know, you don't get that all the time as a studio mm-hmm. quality player.
No, he's good. He's very talented.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
very
absolutely.
Talented guy.
So how long did it take you to make this record?
Oh, 3 days. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I mean, that's not unheard of, but...
No.
I mean, it was a span of time.
I had several of these tunes were already in sort of in the can, but the second half of the tunes over a course of, a couple of months, but the basic tracking was just maybe 3 or 4 sessions.
Yeah, know? Just not.
I think we did two songs a session or something. Kind of standard for something that you want to be quality, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can push things and, you know, obviously sometimes people try to track 6 songs in one session.
You get
that's
a little tired.
It.
Yeah, that's pushing.
Well,
it.
I mean,
well, considering you got rehearsal time built into that too, because these guys got to learn what you're
doing. They got to learn the material, and that's part of the, you know, what I like. And there are different schools of thought, like you talk about working a song,
yeah.
meaning performing it over and over with a group of guys and having it evolve. But there's also something to be said for get a bunch of guys together who are good, who are creative,
right.
and you say, let's see what we can do with this in the next 2 hours for the basic track. Now, mind you, if I'm the songwriter and the producer, I kind of know where I want it to go. But I have to say, on that particular song, particularly, I think John Grossi had a lot to do with the actual feel of it in terms of subtle parts of the arrangement. You know, I mean, just the basic rhythm part and the chords, that's what I wrote, you know, musically. But John Grossi had some input, and it's interesting to see how all that happens while you're doing it, as opposed to a band working on a song and performing it several times. I mean, a lot of times songs evolve in a studio, and that's what sticks. And that's how this tune was done.
Yeah, I would imagine as a writer, you know, and you're the guy that's crafted this particular tune, you know where you want it to go, but you leave yourself a lot of wiggle room, don't you? So because you want to allow other artists to put in their point of view on it as well, right? I mean, that's...
Well, in the case of this song, for example, I can tell you specifically, not on every song, but in this particular instance, going into the solo section
uh-huh.
where Eric plays harmonica, and he wasn't there for the track, and we were leaving the space for a solo. That was not how I wrote the song. So that was an arrangement change by these session players. And that's what you get as a songwriter when you do use the session players, is they go, wait, this is going to work. Let's try this. And I'm standing there as a songwriter going, well, okay, because these guys are better than me as a musician by far, you know. And so that kind of thing can happen,
right?
You know, when you're working with talented people who are, I mean, there's one thing about proficiency is one thing, but to be creative is another thing.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's what the studio players, good studio players, are proficient at their instrument, but they're also creative, and they can hear the full, you know, the whole enchilada, they're feeling, oh wait, you need to do this right here. So I remember on that specific song, now most of these songs were more straight ahead already in terms of what I knew I wanted,
sure,
but I like to leave it open. You know, one song I did on this other CD called Deep Fried Hallelujahs, am I rambling too
no
much?
You're doing fine,
but interesting, I have this tune called Deep Fried Hallelujahs that I wrote. And I did an experiment personally. It was a little experiment for me as a writer. And even though I don't consider myself a great player, I pretty much always sit down with a guitar or piano and write a song and track. I mean, and have the structure, the chords where I want them to be. I know where the solo is going to be. But Deep Fried Hallelujahs, I'm going to do something different, I thought, because I had these guys. It was John Grossi again. It was Adam Levin, and it was Mike Assad. So what happened was I intentionally didn't chord it out. In other words, I didn't have a chord chart for the song. I intentionally went into the studio with these guys to see what would happen. I felt comfortable enough with them all because I'd worked with them.
Because you had your lyrics and your phrasing. And
I had my lyric. I had the melody. I didn't even have the key, but I had the basic melody. I had the basic melody, and I just wanted to see what they would do with it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It was just, let's see what's going to happen with this. I mean,
ballsy, too, really.
Again, you have to feel comfortable with people. Oh, yeah. And we all were feeling really comfortable, really loose and creative, and that's how I did that tune. I intentionally did not sit down and chord it out. But I kind of knew where it would likely go, but at the same time, I wanted to see how it would turn
out. It's like forced collaboration, you know. Mm-hmm. You will do this.
let's go with this. I'm not saying, this is more or less the melody. And I'm sure, you know what, to be honest, I'm sure other songwriters who don't play an instrument, and there are plenty of writers who do it that way, where they write a song and they have a general melody. They probably just come in and sing a song, and then the band just picks it up from there. But for me, that's the only time in my life where I've actually walked into a studio with just the lyrics and the basic melody, and it's a fun tune. I guess we probably ought to play that one.
Well, why not? Let's go ahead and get into it.
Okay. I'm saying again.
Oh, off the record. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to play that from Behind Blue Eyes.
Oh, that. Yeah, I don't have it loaded up. So
that one.
Well, how about another tune here from you guys?
Another tune.
Yeah. Another Side of the Sun is available just about wherever you can download your music, and I personally would recommend getting it from Mr. Eddie Daddle and add it to your collection of stuff, and some good stuff there. Very good.
Should we do Carnival Souls? We'll do something kind of psychedelic.
Cool.
Wally, what do you want to say about this tune while I'm capoing it up?
It's kind of like a circus kind of thing. It's Carnival Souls.
Like an old
waltz time, three quarter time.
Yeah.
Kind of like a carnival kind of thing.
I got you.
It's kind of psychedelic lyrics.
Awesome.
And this is one that we wrote 20 plus years ago and recorded it on this album of mine called Sketches and Revelations. I think Mark Jordan wrote a review on the album and he called this a bad trip. Thank you, Mark, for all the support you give us over the years.
Appreciate that, buddy. That's it.
I love Mark. I really like him.
Did he really write that?
A bad trip.
A bad trip.
The thing is, the lyrics, And Wally will tell you sometimes I wax too poetic, but I like the lyrics. If you don't get it, you don't get it. It's just about life. It's about how fragile and ethereal life can be.
Sure,
it's really what it is.
Don't read too much into it. That's what you're saying.
Well, no, I think you can read into it, but it's not a bad trip. It's a little more. In other words, there's some. Skill, and technique behind it, and I like it a lot. And just the thing is, what I want to say is that actually this song gets a lot of attention online for whatever reason.
Yeah.
It gets downloads and streams and all that stuff. And so it's proven to be actually, a well-received song.
Well, people
so
like
there,
it.
Mark.
Yeah, so there. It's not a bad so trip, man.
But we like it.
Good.
Here in this circus of life we go round, swirling and spinning so high off the ground, and we fly. How high we go. In this carnival of souls, thousands of millions of atoms are we. Electromagnetic is our reality. In your mind, so hard letting go. In this carnival of souls, doors are all open to future and past. It all disappears like breath against glass as we stand, wondering which way to go in this carnival of souls. In this carnival of souls, carnival of souls.
Beautiful. That's not a bad trip.
No, I mean, I don't know why he said that. But
it's actually a very sweet tune.
I like it. Thank you.
I do. I like that a lot.
We worked it up just for you.
Well, thank you. I feel privileged now.
Well, that one we played out too, though. Yeah. Wally and I were playing out as we had a trio a couple of years ago. So,
any interest in getting back out there and playing some a little bit more than?
Yeah, I guess I will. You know, a little bit.
Why not? You got the record out there. You might as well. Schlep a few out there.
I need to. Well, you know, I realized lately I've been playing more piano than guitar. I always try to at least keep my head, you know, open to songwriting.
Sure.
And to do that, I need to play an instrument. And but I haven't been playing guitar as much.
Lost my calluses. Yeah.
But you know, I can do it, but it hurts until I toughen them up.
I'm the same way. I hadn't played in a while, and I just sat down with it and had a little bit of free time, and I was like, oh my God, this hurts. What have I done?
Yeah, and then you have to overcompensate, because if your fingertips are not hard anymore, then you're pushing harder, so then your joint starts to feel it too, mm-hmm. you know, because you're pushing so hard.
And it comes right up your hand, and, you know, it's mm-hmm. up to your elbow and shoulder, and you go, this is how it ends.
And then you start limping, you know, as a result. You're all twisted.
I have a bad hip because I'm playing guitar again.
It happens, you know. Well, of course, you know, I'll tell you what happens with drummers. I see it happen. Well, I guess all musicians, but that carpal tunnel syndrome. Yeah. Carpal tunnel is an issue for. I'm known a couple of drummers who
right there in their wrists, you know, and that forearm business. Oh, it hurts. Yeah.
And piano players too, I think. You know, I'll tell you something. Music is really very physical.
Oh, sure.
You know, and for people to think that it's just a matter of moving your fingers, it's like, no, I don't think so.
No.
So I really admire these guys who, you know, who can play hours on end every night.
Like this guy.
The stamina. Yeah, Wally can do that, but to be honest with you, my voice wears out after about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but that's
kinda. It's singing and screaming and hollering and talking and all that stuff. Yeah, as you get older, you just get more tired.
I never had, for some reason. I can only do about an hour and a half. I don't. It's probably the way I sing. I'm self-taught.
Yeah.
So I don't. I must not be doing something right, and so I lose a lot of my range after. You know, if I'm singing a full hour, so it's like two sets. I'm pretty good for two sets.
Don't change. For God's sake, don't take any lessons now and screw it all up. it sounds good.
Wally teaches me. Actually, Wally's a very good musician.
Oh, Wally is a great musician.
He's got his theory down. And my theory's pretty, you know, rudimentary. But playing a little piano helps, you know, because you see the chords. You can.
Yeah, it's a visual thing with the piano. Mm-hmm. Guitar to a certain extent, but, you know, piano definitely, because it's all laid out right there in front of you.
Mm-hmm. You can, you know.
I've studied music for 2 semesters at the university. I dropped out after 2 semesters.
Yeah.
You wonder how, you know, you met Carl Wolf over.
Yeah, I met at him at the end of when I was going to school at the University of Memphis. Yeah.
But I think Carl.
And I hooked him up with you.
Yeah. I mean, you know who Carl Wolf is? You know, his MJO, Memphis Jazz Orchestra.
Yeah.
I was just wonder how I got. I think Carl, like, he was a Navy musician, and then he co-founded Memphis Jazz Orchestra, and we've worked with him a lot. He plays on a lot of the recordings we do, and he's written, actually, string arrangements and stuff, and obviously horn arrangements, because he's a great sax player. But I think I was introduced to Carl through Wally. Wally was taking some classes at U of M, and Carl was like taking a class or something.
Carl worked in the music department. Yeah, I don't know if he was teaching or what he was doing, but he worked there.
Oh, okay. I thought for some reason he was going to take a class, and you're wondering, how does a guy like Carl, what are you going to teach him, you know?
Right.
No, he was working, I don't know, he was either teaching or doing something.
Okay, and Carl doesn't have, you know, he doesn't have a degree in music, but he's head of saxophone studies at Rhodes, you know.
Knows enough, yeah. He's got something going on. Yeah,
he's very talented.
I've got time for one more if you want to do one.
One more live tune?
Yeah, and then I'll play something off the record.
Okay, well, let's do Great Recession Blues, maybe?
Yeah. Okay.
Do that? This is a tune, this is that tune we mentioned before, Great Recession Blues.
Yeah.
I got the blues. The Great Recession Blues. I got the blues, the Great Recession Blues. I just can't get ahead, no matter what I do. People losing work everywhere I go. They can't find no jobs and the wolves are at the door. I got the blues, the Great Recession Blues. You know I just can't get ahead, no matter what I do. Prices are getting higher, paychecks getting small. You know I guess I'm lucky to get anything at all. I got the blues, Great Recession Blues. I just can't get ahead, no matter what I do. Wally Ford. Spending money to get us out of debt. They say it's helping some, but I haven't seen it yet. I got the blues, the Great Recession Blues. You know I just can't get ahead, no matter what I do. I just can't get ahead, no matter what I do.
Yeah, a sign of the times for sure, man. Still is.
Yeah, that song had, what do you call it? It lasted.
It had legs for sure.
It still
does it, that's for sure. Eddie Dettel, Wally Ford, the new record is called Another Side of the Sun. Go get it, add it to your collection. Guys, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Rick. It was a pleasure.
Anytime. Anytime you want to come down and hang with us, you want to bring the blues act down here one night, and we'll just set up in here and go nuts.
All right. Sounds good.
That'll be big. All right, guys. Before the break, I'm going to play Memphis Rain. Since you mentioned it, and it's raining its ass off up there, we might as well just, you know.
This is one of my favorite tunes, I have to say. I've always liked this song. It was first, I wrote it working with Sandy Carroll.
Yeah.
And it was released 20 years ago, and a lot of people enjoyed it over the years, and I thought I'd do my own version, you know, as a songwriter. So
sure.
That's the story.
Well, here it is. It's Memphis Rain. It's from Another Side of the Sun. It's Eddie Daddle right here at Radio Memphis.
It's pouring outside in this old river town, and it could come down for days from the look of these clouds. They say the rain is a friend to the thirsty red clay, but if it falls too hard, the delta washes away. It's that Memphis rain, the Memphis rain, just like the river, it goes on forever, the Memphis rain. Say there'll be some changes. Well, I've heard that before. They promise you blue skies, then they send you down poor. Who will go to the mountain? All the prophets have. Drown in its wake.
The Broom Closet is your one-stop shop for all of your metaphysical supplies and gifts. We stock candles, herbs, gemstones, incense, salt lamps, and more. We also host monthly rituals and events for those looking to get together with like-minded people. And the Broom Closet is the only place you can get your cards read by me, Reverend Emily. I'm an ordained Wiccan minister and Reiki master. Book your next tarot reading and see what's in the cards for you. Discover conscious living and being connected to an awesome community. The Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop is located in downtown Memphis, or visit our online store at thebroomclosetmemphis.com. The Broom Closet, where magic begins.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Here in the studio, Liz Kenmark is here. Hi, Liz.
Hey there, Rick. You get people giggling. You'll do body waves with the pole. You'll do maybe a little bit of twerking. Everybody,
it's as if
up.
You're in a shake joint.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Not too much, because especially if it's a beginner class, people are super nervous to be there.
Yeah, they don't know what they don't. This is going to lead down a path of depravity.
Exactly. Like, especially when I started, I wouldn't wear heels in class for years. I was not that.
So
kind
you do
of
this
dancer.
In heels too?
Now I do. I love heels, actually. Once I opened the floodgates, it was like over. I have all the heels.
I got you.
Yeah.
And are these like the old fashioned stripper heels? The you know, the big 9-inch,
yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm. Big platform
with the goldfish in them.
Basically. I actually, for the upcoming show, I got my first pair of light up shoes.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
How about that? Wasn't that cool? That was awesome there. With, I'm not referring to the promo. The promo's what it is. It's a freaking promo. The conversation with Eddie and Wally there in our studios at Radio Memphis. So it was big fun. So my thanks to those guys for coming in and for us to play, allowing us to play some of their music. So that's cool. Go find his music. Eddie Daddle, E-D-D-I-E, Daddle, D-A-T-T-E-L. D-A-T-T-E-L, okay? That's how you spell it, E-L. So go find his stuff, download it, add it to your collection. You won't be disappointed, all right? So there you go. All right, kids, well, you heard what's coming up next time. That's it for me. I'm done. Please have a good, safe new year, and we'll see you next time. It's going to be a fine year here, as far as I can tell, from Radioland. So until then, take care of yourselves and take care of one another. And for God's sake, stop shooting each other. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.